It's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown, out there on the edge of the prairie. It's gotten warmer, and the ice is now off the lake. Just happened suddenly one day, and people all pointed it out to each other. Even though everybody knew it, they enjoyed saying it, and Easter is done, and the Lord is risen, and so we move on, and it's the time to start your tomato plants in the little milk cartons down there in the basement under the grow light and get things moving along. There was a little snow actually late on Thursday. It was a rain that turned into snow, but we don't comment on that, just as you wouldn't comment on other sorts of misbehavior. You just ignore this and you look in the other direction. And sure enough, on Friday, the Lake Wobegon Whippets held their first practice. They're getting ready for the season, which begins earlier this year, and the Old Sod Shanty League begins the second week of May rather than Memorial Day. Starting the season on Memorial Day had unfortunate connotations, and so they're doing otherwise now. A woman tried out for the Whippets, the first ever, Wayne Tomerdahl's cousin Sally. She came to town to work for Carl Krebsbach in his construction company. She's a carpenter and also an electrician, and she played fast pitch softball down in the cities, and she has this amazing kind of underhand sidearm pitch that, so far as they can understand, is legal in the league. And she was throwing batting practice until they asked her to stop on Friday because nobody could touch that pitch. It came kind of up and in and hung in the air into a right-handed batter. So they're thinking of adding her to the team. You'd much rather have her on your team than pitching against you. You wouldn't care to see that pitch ever again. And so things change. They just change without our anticipating it or people even talking about it. Things just suddenly change. There's a natural restlessness in the world, and we feel it. We feel it in the spring. There's perpetual adolescence comes springing up. I remember this when I was your age back then. I remember falling in love when I was 15 with Julie Christensen when she played Red Sails in the Sunset on her violin for the spring talent show when I was in high school, and this was back in the age of the accordion and the trombone, and I had never seen anybody play the violin. I didn't know that it could be done. And she won first prize and played it perfectly, and then never played the violin ever again because there was no reason to. Where would she go? And so she put it down and never touched it again. Whereas I got up in front of that crowd and I recited, "O Captain, my Captain, our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every rack. The prize we sought is won. But oh, the bleeding drops of red where on the deck my Captain lies, fallen cold and dead." And people laughed at me. They laughed and they ignited this hard red coal of rejection and humiliation and shame in my inner being, which has kept me going now for 57 years. It was on this same program that Bill Swenson went out and lip-synced. He lip-synced to Vaya Con Dios, the recording by Pat Boone, and I stood backstage next to Marcy, who had put the 45 record on the turntable, and I found that if I put my finger just very lightly on the edge of the record, that I could make Pat Boone sound like he was carsick. And that got big laughs, as a result of which Bill Swenson went off to law school. He had not been that bright that we were aware of before. He went off to law school. He was Phi Beta Kappa. He went down to Texas. He's earned a truckload of money as a litigator, for which he's never thanked me, though I am responsible. There's a lot of restlessness, agitation in the air up in Lake Wobegon. Roger Hedlund's widow, Cindy, was driving around town on Easter after church with her daughter Martha, who had come to town from Seattle. And she was driving around, and the car hit a pothole, and it activated the voicemail on her onboard answering machine. And suddenly here was a deep bass voice saying, "Cindy, this is Roy calling. I'm just looking forward to the weekend down in Branson. And I'm just very excited about you." And then Cindy clicked it off. "I don't know what that was," she said. "I don't know who that was." Martha didn't want to ask. "Sounded like the radio or something," she said. "I don't know what that was," Cindy said. Martha didn't want to know. They went out to dinner afterward, and Cindy said, "I've been meaning to tell," and Martha just changed the subject and said that she was thinking of leaving Seattle and moved to San Francisco because she'd met someone, which she hadn't actually, but to learn about your mother's intimate life was nothing she ever wanted, ever. Not now, not ever. Please don't tell me. A lot of restlessness in Lake Wobegon. A lot of it going on. Pastor Liz, after Easter, felt depressed. She feels depressed every year after Holy Week. And who do you talk to about it when you are a single female pastor? You can't talk to your parishioners. And who do you talk to? Nobody. She just felt really, really bad. She always does. Every year around this time. It's a Lutheran thing, you know. I mean, you wouldn't get depressed in January or February because, you know, it would be dangerous. You know, you've got other things to think about. You've got to survive. And so you put it off until the weather warms up. It's, you know, same as you never get sick when you're under a mountain of work, because you can't afford to get sick, and so you don't. You wait until the first day of your vacation, and you're sick for 2 weeks, and then you go back to work. It's a Lutheran thing. She went off to Melrose, Minnesota, to go in a bar where nobody would know her. And here was a woman behind the bar, and she seemed kindly. And Liz asked for a beer, and the woman pulled her a glass of tap. And Liz was waiting for the woman to say, "So how are you? How are you?" And she would have told her something, but the woman didn't say that. She said, I recognize you. I saw you at some sort of Christmas thing, didn't I?" So she couldn't tell her. Kate Enquist came in to see Pastor Liz this last week. She's the daughter of the former pastor, Pastor and Mrs. Enquist, who left and moved down to the cities. Kate came in to see Liz, and she got right to the point. She said she's 2 months pregnant, and she's going to have the baby, and she's maybe going to put it up for adoption. She doesn't know what. She doesn't want to tell the father because he's a friend. He's only a friend, and he's a bright guy. He's 21. He's on his way to grad school, mathematics. He's going to have a great future somewhere, and he's not ready to be a father. So Kate is going to go off to live with her aunt in Reading, Pennsylvania, a big old house there, and her aunt will be glad to see her, and they've always been close, and she found Kate a job in a theater there on the main street in Reading. So That's what she's going to do. Liz said, have you told your parents? No. No, I have not. I ought to. I know I ought to. But I haven't. I don't know how to tell them. They're separated, you know. Yes, I heard about that, said Liz. Do you want me to tell them? No, no. I guess I'll just write them a letter when I go off to Reading. Lots happening. A lot of restlessness in our town. The town's oldest man, Senator Kay Torvaldsen, is off in a care center in Costa Rica. He'd gone down to Florida for December and stayed through January and February, was not in touch with his daughter Mary, who was worried about him. He'd gone down there with his caregiver, LaVon, and they'd been down there all this time, and then Mary got a call from a ship's doctor, a cruise ship, and the old man had been put ashore in Costa Rica because he was not well and they couldn't take care of him. He was on a 21-day cruise. That's what those enormous visa bills were that Mary was getting back in Lake Wobegon. He was in a care center in Costa Rica, suffering from exhaustion. He had fallen out of bed, and he could not get back in bed. So there he was. Mary called him down there. He sounded very happy. A lot of birds in the trees. He loved it there in the rainforest. It was a beautiful, beautiful place to be, and people were very kind to him. Where's LaVon? Mary said, well, she's right here. She's right here. LaVon, what kind of a caregiver is she? What does her caregiving include? Mary would like to know. A lot of these visa bills have come back signed by LaVon, $100 for a hairstylist. The old man has no hair to style. $400 for clothing, a women's clothing shop. When are you coming home, Daddy? We have to talk. We have to talk. Mary is 72. She's retired herself. She's worried about money. Her dad has never settled up her mother's estate. It's been 11 years. Daddy, we have to talk about money. I don't look back, he said. I don't look back. That's in the past. I live in the future. I live in the future. Poor old man. There's a restlessness going around. The loons have arrived in town. They're married for life. They're out there on the lake. And the first anthill has been sighted. It's off by the school. All the ants, snow still on the ground, but ants down there, busy. So should we should be as well. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good looking, all the children are above average.